Public News Service Daily Newscast for Thursday, June the 28th, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. With Justice Kennedy announcing his retirement, major decisions on hot-button issues are in the balance. Also on the rundown, sparked by family separations, protesters nationwide occupy ICE buildings, and now less than 100 days to go before the Land and Water Conservation Fund evaporates. Topping our news, it was hardly a surprise, but it is producing shockwaves. Justice Anthony Kennedy, a crucial swing vote of the Supreme Court, announced Wednesday he's retiring at the end of July. CNBC reports his departure could have massive effect, particularly on abortion rights and gay rights nationwide. His announcement immediately raised questions about how long the court would stand by its earlier abortion rulings, including Roe v. Wade. CNBC adds the president's first nominee to the court, conservative Neil Gorsuch, has already had an enormous effect on U.S. policy in helping to narrowly decide rulings this week related to Trump's ban on travel from certain U.S. countries, abortion, and labor unions. And speaking of labor, Tramiel Gomes reports opponents of Wednesday's Supreme Court ruling freeing government workers from having to pay into unions are using Florida as an example of how bad it could be for working families across the country.
The court's 5-4 Janus decision upends a 41-year-old ruling that allowed states to require that public employees pay some fees to unions that represent them, even if the workers choose not to join. The decision doesn't impact the Sunshine State because of a right-to-work law that makes paying collective bargaining fees voluntary. Florida AFL-CIO President Mike Williams says the state already was crippling working families with low wages, and now the rest of the country will feel the same.
It continues our nation's long race to the bottom for workers' rights. It increases economic inequality and make even more difficult for America's workers to make ends meet.
Meanwhile, conservatives are praising the ruling as a victory for workers and their First Amendment rights, arguing union fees were being used to fund political activities.
12 days into their occupation, the protesters' camp outside of a U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement headquarters in Portland shows no signs it's leaving. Eric Tegetoff has an update.
Despite threats from federal officials earlier this week that the protesters could be arrested at any time, as many as 100 people have established tents in the makeshift encampment. The ICE facility has remained shuttered since last week. Speaking at the camp, Louise Marquez, who has been part of the occupation since its second day, says he was disturbed by news of family separations at the southern border.
I'm of Salvadorian ancestry, and I've detested American foreign policy towards Central America for as long as I can remember. But that aside, what brought me here was seeing babies ripped from their families.
A call to abolish ICE is among the protesters' demands. Since Occupy ICE Portland began last week, protesters in New York City, Detroit, San Diego, and other cities have also joined, marching and camping in front of immigration facilities and even halting hearings. The agency did not respond to a request for comment on these protests.
Some drivers and passengers were annoyed, others angry and afraid when they were stopped last week by U.S. Customs and Border Patrol protection as they headed south on I-95. Linda Barr picks up the story from there.
They weren't allowed to proceed until they said where they were born and whether they are U.S. citizens. Videos obtained by the ACLU show agents at checkpoints told motorists if they didn't respond, they'd be detained indefinitely. One person was arrested. According to Maine ACLU staff attorney Emma Bond, checkpoints like these impinge on people's rights against unreasonable search and their right to remain silent.
The checkpoints in Penobscot County are another example of the Border Patrol's show me your papers policies that make all of us less free. These checkpoints pose the risk of bias and subjective enforcement that the Fourth Amendment is designed to prevent.
And Texas ranks 43rd in child well-being, one of the 10 worst states for kids. Eric Galatas reports that's according to the Annie E. Casey Foundation 2018 Kids Count data book, which we've been highlighting.
The report ranks states in health, education, economic well-being, and family and community. Christy Tingle with the Center for Public Policy Priorities says there are a few bright spots, including a drop in the number of Texas children without health insurance. But she says the data confirms that state leaders need to do more to help millions of children and parents, and that includes getting an accurate census count in 2020.
When kids aren't counted, Texas faces losing billions of dollars in federal support.
More than 580,000 Texas children under age 5 are at risk of being undercounted because they live in hard-to-count census tracts.
And finally, Ross Brown reports conservationists are alarmed. Only 3 months remain before one of the nation's most popular conservation programs could end because Congress has not acted.
The Land and Water Conservation Fund has improved national and local parks in New Mexico for more than 50 years, but it is set to expire at the end of September. The program does not rely on taxpayer dollars, but rather is funded by federal oil royalties from offshore drilling in public waters. New Mexico Senator Tom Udall is among a bipartisan group of lawmakers that sponsored a bill to reauthorize the fund. He notes it has benefited residents in all 50 states.
It's an immensely successful program, which has provided funds to nearly every county in New Mexico and the United States to conserve public open space.
Conservationists are calling on the Congress to fully fund the LWCF at $900 million. That's only happened twice in the fund's history. I'm Mike Clifford. You've been newsing and cruising with Public News Service. We are member-listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.